Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to go through the whole Bible today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to read it really, really fast. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Say that with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, notice that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. This is the history, or if you're reading King James, the generations, or some of the other translations, the account, the record, the story, the summary of events of, again, the heavens and the earth. When they were created in the day, it doesn't say days, just paying attention there, it says day, singular, that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Let's pray. Father, so much here today that we can learn and honor you for. You are the great creator. You are a creator of everything around us, everything that we have, everything that we enjoy. And you've created us as new creations in Christ. So we thank you, Father. We approach the throne of grace with humility, but also with boldness. We expect to receive the things that you have in store for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. I think it's interesting because all of the history that we have in the Pentateuch and Genesis and so forth about creation, you know, there was really nobody there to watch it and write it down as far as a human being. Moses wasn't there, and yet he's the one that God gave it to, and God told Moses to write it all down and pass it all on to us. So we have a record of it, a history of it. I love what it says about the generations of it, because there were generations possibly long before Adam and Eve came along. We don't know specifically how that all happens. There's different theories. I'm not going to get into the gap theory and all that. There's different articles about that. Brother Hagin touched on that in his book about demons and the devil and so forth. That's another whole controversy. But what we do know is that by the time God got around to making Adam, the heavens and the earth were here for him. Did you catch that? Now, I don't know how many of you paid attention, but Friday, April 22nd, I know most of you think it was Earth Day, but actually it was the anniversary of the first service that we had for Established Heart Ministries on Easter Sunday in 1984 at Ramsey Junior High School. And that was our very first service, April 22nd, 1984. So that's the significance of April 22nd. Now they've tried to hijack it and call it Earth Day. I'm calling it Heaven's Day, glory to God. Amen? Now, what does that mean, Earth Day? I'm going to address some issues today. I will get back to the series I was doing. Don't get nervous about it. I know you're just all chomping at the bit about the rest of that series on the first principles. But every now and then, the Lord drops a message on me. And you know what? I'm here to do his business. He's the boss. And so when he gives me a message and I start writing down all this stuff and I come up with all this stuff, I know it's not just for me when he says, this is what I want you to teach on. And I don't know about you, but there were so many things in my inbox, articles, even from Christian organizations celebrating Earth Day. And, I mean, I understand it, but if they really understood the origins of it, I'm not too excited about it. Because it glorifies man, and it glorifies the earth over sometimes humanity. So, all of them are making a big deal about this, and I wanted to be able to say greetings to the church rather than just say greetings, earthlings. You know, that would be if I was an alien coming, greeting, earthlings. You know, because you're all focused on earth, the earth, you know. Anyways, so John chapter 1, verse 1 is the New Testament account of in the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Yes. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now notice, the word all of a sudden becomes a personal pronoun, he. That wouldn't go over real well in this society, in this culture, would it? Oh no, we can't use those personal pronouns. Well, I'm going to, because Jesus did. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. We could say, in the word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Humanity left to itself to come up with its own devices will always live in darkness. That's basically what it was saying from the very beginning. So man has a limited knowledge of what's going on around him because he's living in this darkness. He can't comprehend what's going on around him when it comes to the things of God and light. And so we know that these people all around us, such were some of us, I don't know about you, but I lived in a lot of darkness. And as my wife was talking the other day, she says, you know, in the world right now, it's not just darkness. The Bible calls it gross darkness. And you know what happens when something's, man, that's really gross. That's ugly. That's bad. You don't like it. Gross darkness. It's overwhelming kind of darkness. So for us, what we want to do is understand the fact that there's people walking in the light, there's people living in darkness. Which one should the church be? Huh? Yeah. We're the light. And we should be walking in that light. We should be sharing that light. We should be emanating that light. We should be illuminating that light. Because that's what God tells us to do. So when it comes to darkness versus light, one of the things that we have to deal with all the time, and this was the big emphasis on Earth Day, no matter how you look at it, is the argument, the feud, the battle, whatever you want to call it, it boils down to a conflict of truth and error between creation and, guess what, evolution. If you want to believe that you came from a slug or a piece of slime somewhere in a swamp, that takes more faith than to believe that God created us. It really does. You know, I love all the different analogies, but I think the best is that to believe in evolution is to believe that a tornado went through a junk pile, a dump, and when it got all done, it came out the other side, a perfectly built 747 was there ready to fly. How did that happen? Evolution. No, it wasn't evolution. It doesn't work. Everyone understand it's a theory. It is not fact. And what always has bothered me is how many people treat it, talk about it, teach it as if it is a settled scientific fact. That is not. Oh boy. So we are the light of the world. God created this earth with a purpose. He created for us. Genesis 2:1, look at that again. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. So it was done. Everything that was going to happen was happening, and it was done. It was finished. Now it says both the heavens and the earth and the host of them. Now I've been reading a lot of different commentaries and reading different articles and going over and over previous notes that I've done. And one of the things that kept jumping out at me, and I didn't know how much I wanted to spend, but I do want to mention this. You know, the host there, all the other places it talks about the host of heaven. It's also talking about the heavenly host that was there when Jesus was born. The heavenly host that hovers around us. It's not just the host of them being the sun and the moon and the stars. Thank God for all of them, because God said he put those there for a purpose for us to be able to measure times and seasons and so forth. Isn't that right? So the host of them were finished. God's creation was not a coincidence. We just didn't happen to have, you know, you watch these specials on the History Channel or National Geographic, and man, the graphics are cool, and they got all this stuff, and they had the Big Bang. Finally, they've at least admitted to the Big Bang. They're one step closer to understanding about God, because when he said, let there be, what happened? Boom, Big Bang. And since then, everything's been going forth from creation. But you know what? It didn't just happen to, oh, just the right amount of minerals and stuff all just kind of, and here, all of a sudden here's a sun, and here's some planets, and here's this molten stuff. And, you know, we live in what's called the Goldilocks orbit. You ever heard that? If you ever watched science fiction, you know what that is. Science fiction is always looking for another solar system that has the Goldilocks orbit. That means you're not so close to the sun that we're all going to get fried, or so far away from the sun that we're all going to freeze to death. Thank God we're not Mercury and we're not Mars. All right? They keep looking for all these other planets around all these other solar systems and everything. Oh, there's probably thousands of them. Well, if there is, it's a guess because you can't see them. No one has seen them. They've come up with the probabilities of them. Okay, I can understand probabilities. But if you believe that God finished these things and all the heavens and all hosts of them were done, then they're done. Because I'm not sure how this is going to work, but you know, when Jesus comes back and it's all wrapped up, he says, we judge the world once with water, and next time we're going to fry the place, burn it down. And I'm going to build a new one, a new heaven, and a new earth. I have a whole page of scriptures that refer to that. And I'm going to skip that for the sake of time. Aren't you glad? So Psalm 24:1 says this. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's. And all its what? Fullness. There's nothing left out. The world and those who dwell therein. So the environmentalists now have defined Earth Day as their holiday to celebrate evolution, to celebrate Mother Earth. But I'm here to tell you we're to celebrate Father God. Amen? Now, I don't have a problem with people talking about Mother Nature, but not Mother Earth. There is a difference. I can acknowledge Mother Nature as far as just a saying or a phrase. But, you know, in that sense, nature doesn't have a mother out there giving birth to all kinds of new creation. There isn't new animals being created. It isn't happening. It says it's done. You know, all of a sudden, they're going to say, oh, we've discovered a new species. No, you didn't. You just discovered one that kind of, you know, adapted to something else. I've always said, have you ever seen these little teeny chihuahua dogs? You could fit it in your pocket. And then my brother used to have St. Bernards. You ever seen one of those? St. Barnyard dogs, what I called them. They're so stinking big, and you think, they came from the same. Well, they're a dog. But I would go so far, because I'm a creationist, not an evolutionist. I would say that God said, let's make a dog. And I believe Jesus and the Holy Spirit, let's make a dog. That one's pretty cute. Well, let's make a little one. I don't think he just made one dog, and then every dog in the world from every other kind of dog that we ever had kind of came out of that one dog. Because do you think man sat around and just said, let's just keep breeding them until we shrink them, and breeding them, and breeding them until they get bigger, and breeding them until they get furry, and breeding them, breeding them until they don't have fur, and breeding. No, man has messed around and crossbred things. I understand that. But I don't think that's where it all came from, through evolution. All right? I don't think a little parakeet is a second cousin to an eagle. Or a vulture. Ugh. Huh? Now, Pastor, you're getting really carried away with this. Yes, I am. Here's the definition of Earth Day from their own www.earthday.org, if you want the official definition. Education is the foundation for progress. I will agree with that opening statement. The rest, nope. Here we go. We need to build a global citizenry fluent in the concepts of climate change and aware of its unprecedented threat to our planet. We need to empower everyone with the knowledge to inspire action in defense of environmental protection. I'm more concerned about protecting people. Hello? So I came up with my own definition. Is that all right? Here's my definition for Earth Day to celebrate based on God the Father, the Creator. Understanding God's creation is the foundation for progress. We need to educate, inform, and equip the church, the body of Christ, to become fluent in the concepts of truth about the earth, becoming aware of our responsibilities to be stewards of the planet. We need to empower everyone with the biblical knowledge to defend creation against the environmental extremists. That's my definition. Turn over to Psalm 89, please. Verse 11. The heavens are yours. The earth is also yours. The world and all its fullness. You have founded them. Others say you have created them. The psalmist is acknowledging that everything that we have, that's Psalm 89:11, is God's. He created it all, and everything and the fullness thereof is his. He's responsible. Now, that truth is repeated and confirmed over and over and over, but Acts 7:49, it says, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, again, the earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness. Hebrews 1 says, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Every one of these is, in the New Testament, is a direct quote from Isaiah 66, Psalm 24, Psalm 102, and I could give you a whole list. I have 8 pages of notes you don't want me to go to. Psalm 115 says this, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has given, he has given to the children of men. So here's Adam's assignment. He establishes through scripture after scripture that God created it. It's God's and the fullness thereof. And then he says to Adam in the garden, let's read it, Genesis chapter 1. Now remember, he says the heavens, even the heavens, the heaven and even the heavens are the Lord's. So it's talking about not just the, you know, people say, well, you know, the heavens is only talking about the atmosphere around the earth. It does not. There's the heavens and even the heavens. It's talking about celestial eternity, all of the universe. Actually, some translations actually say the universe, not just the galaxy, the universe are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Hello, earthlings. So in Genesis 1, let's read this. This is all about how creation was planned with humanity in mind. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Underline that, please. Over what? All the earth. Have dominion. Have authority. Some would say responsibility. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then some would say we have authority over creeps. Isn't that right? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I could preach for a couple hours just out of this passage. Just if you want to address the whole thing about sexuality that's going on in our culture today. All the LGBTQRST stuff that's going on. Huh? Because right there it says he created what? Male and female. And that's it. He created them. And as I've said 100 times, I'm going to keep saying it. If someone says, well, today I feel like a female and tomorrow I feel like a male and the next day I feel like a they and the next day I feel like an it. And, you know, well, what are you? Well, I just go by my feelings. You know, if you die and they dig up your body in 100 years, they can, well, it's a skeleton. Let's figure out what it is. And they do a DNA test. They will tell by your DNA if you were a man or a woman. They won't be able to say, oh yeah, I think this one's an it. I think it's a them. You know, these people that now are wearing their name badge, and it says right on here, please respect my gender, fluidity, my name. And they'll say right on there, I am them. And where's the rest of them? You know, aren't you glad that we are walking in love and we don't pick a fight with those people? Because you don't know, they're going to spit in your food or something when they bring it to you. I don't know what they're going to, but I'm not going to pick a fight with them. But when I'm all done and I've paid the bill and I'm going to give them a really big tip because I love them, and then I'll say something to them, maybe if God tells me to. But otherwise, you leave it alone. You hope for some other labor to come across their path that they'll listen to. And you pray for them. You hope that God has an opportunity to minister life to them because they're confused, that's all. They're confused. You know, they're not bad people. God loves them. Jesus died for them. Let's not take up an attitude that's adversarial or hateful. These people say, well, you're a Christian, you're a bigot, you're this, you're a homophobe. You know, all of a sudden we get labeled. But that's from their definitions, not ours. Amen? It's not my definition. So when I look at this situation and I read my assignment, I read Adam's assignment, he tells us that we've been created in God's image, we are to have dominion over all the earth, and he said that I would bless you, I want you to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, and to subdue it. Now again, I could get way off on replenishing. That means that it used to have something going on. Oh, back to the gap theory again, sorry. So man was given responsibility of stewardship over the earth. Jesus talks about that. And I believe that when Adam sinned, think about, you know, Charles Capps was the first person I ever heard called this. I've heard it since then, though. But he called it Adam's lease. He said when Adam's lease is up, that's when things are going to really get interesting. And that's when he talks about the end of the millennium and the second coming of Jesus. There's a day when Adam's lease is up. Now, unfortunately, what Adam did is he sublet to the devil his authority over his responsibility. And so Satan, according to 2 Corinthians, is called the god of this world. And he tries to have dominion over this world because this was all given to Adam. And Adam, through his foolishness, through his deception of his wife, together, they did what? They ate of the tree they were not supposed to eat of. And Lucifer stepped in and became, in a sense, a joint tenant with Adam. He got on the lease. You understand that? It's like if someone co-signed the lease with you. If two people are going to move into an apartment together, one of them, maybe the primary one, comes along and co-signs, but they both now have legal responsibility and access to that lease. So if the one can't make the rent, guess what happens? They go after the other person because you have both legally signed as a co-lessee. I need help from my realtor back there. However that works. So we're looking at the fact that man was given this responsibility. Man was told to be a good steward over it. Man was given the authority, really, as the second Adam, to come in here and set things straight. That's what the church is supposed to starting to do here. So Romans chapter 8, verse 22, it says, for we know that the whole creation is still groaning and travailing in pain right up until Jesus comes back. You know, when people say, oh, there was an earthquake or there was a tsunami, I wonder what God was doing. God didn't do a thing. He set things in motion and man messed it up. And since then, the earth has been travailing. Science will actually sit there and look at all of the tectonic plates and how things are moving and how things are shifting. Those are contractions. Every woman in here that's ever had a child knows exactly what those are. And if you're a husband and you sat next to them, you don't let them hold your hand. Because you won't have any fingers afterwards. Huh? And see, when that happens, you're going, that's when the earthquakes take place. Come on. So we need to read the whole context of chapter 8 and those pains, and it talks about the sons, and it's waiting for the sons of God, to be revealed. And that's what the church is doing. We're being revealed. That's, again, the contrast of light and dark. Joshua chapter 10, we had this cool analogy. We were actually talking about it the other night at dinner. And, during this battle, Joshua, and he prays, sun, just as Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, he says, sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. So it says, so the sun stood still, the moon stopped. And you go, so the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Boy, that sure messes up your calendar, doesn't it? Talk about daylight savings time. Huh? 24-hour day? Whew. Well, the day the earth stood still. How many remember that movie? Now, let me ask you this. How many remember the original movie that was made in 1951? Huh? Now, most of you saw the second movie that was made in 2008. And, the first movie that was made in 1951, I remember that as a little kid watching it. And people got scared because it was all about World War III, and because after the atomic bomb, everything was now, every science fiction movie that came out was trying to scare us into the reality. We're all going to blow ourselves up. We're going to kill, we're going to devastate the earth. We're going to eliminate and exterminate humanity because we've got so much power. We've unleashed this Pandora's box, and we're all going to die. I'll tell off on myself. I was a little kid living in the east side of St. Paul at Mounds Park, and we had a little corner theater there called the Mounds Park Theater. And my mom let me go to a movie, my very first movie. Oh, I wish she wouldn't have let me go. And it was one of those horror movies. It wasn't The Blob, but it was just like that. And because of all the atomic testing out in the Pacific Ocean, and these guys got their ship over there, and they all turned into this, you know, like jellyfish stuff, and they'd come up and they'd go up your leg and you'd turn into a jellyfish too. And everybody was disappearing, and it got into the sewers in Tokyo, and it was consuming everyone, and it scared me like I didn't want to walk by a sewer after that. Anything that looked like jelly, it was white. Blech. See, that's what the day the earth stood still was. It was trying to scare humanity into reality. You're going to kill yourselves. Well, then, of course, almost 60 years go by, and Hollywood always says we can do a remake and make it better and change the story up and get a real famous actor to come along and play Clay 2. And everybody knows the next two words. You don't know that? Clay 2. What does he say to the robot? Come on now. Clay 2, Varada, Nick 2. I know you guys are. Watch it on Netflix, whatever. So anyways, the remake of the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, in that particular one, it's not atomic bombs, it's not humanity doing this, it's the fact that humanity has already started to destroy the earth because of the environment. Of course, it became an environmental thing. Al Gore helped write the script, I think. So I looked it up, and here's the synopsis of the movie. Quote, A representative of an alien race that went through drastic evolution to survive its own climate change, Clay 2, comes to Earth to assess whether humanity can prevent the environmental damage they have inflicted on their own planet. And when barred from speaking to the United Nations, he, the alien, decides that humankind shall be exterminated so the planet can survive. Oh, and now, don't you just want to watch that movie? I looked it up, and here's the most famous line in the movie. I'm a friend of the earth. Not of humanity. What he says is, I'm a friend of the earth. We have people today that they only want to be friends with the earth, not with the people who are on the earth. They don't care if humans die. They don't care if we starve. They don't care about that because there's too many people already, you know. And my wife and I always laugh about that. Have you driven across Montana? Oh, there's just no, we're running out of room. Are you crazy? Romans 1 tells us all about these people. They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creation rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. That's the problem we have right now. We have people who have created a religion around Earth Day. It is their Easter. It is their Christmas. It is their birth and their right to hold on to something. And it's sad. It's really sad. We know that the Bible never actually talks about evolution, obviously, but it talks about hundreds and hundreds of times about creation. And what I'm thankful for is finally there are some scientists who are coming out against the theory of evolution. Now, some of them have, you know, they're not bold enough to actually call it creation. They've come out with a new term called intelligent design. In fact, I watched an interview with an atheist who was a scientist, a physicist, and so forth, and they finally got him to come around. Oh, he wouldn't admit that there was God or there was any creation, but that was intelligent design. Yes, I can see that in the flowers. I can see that in nature. I mean, there had to have been someone sitting behind all of this, in a sense, the man behind the curtain that designed all this. And as an atheist, he would never admit it was God. Finally, after putting the guy in the corner, he says, well, you know, it was probably an alien. God qualifies. Because he's not from this earth. God's an alien when it comes to this. True. You know, he doesn't have to show up in a spaceship and the day the earth stood still and warn us all that we're going to blow each other up or we're going to destroy the planet. And, I'm really sick of humanity. So to save the earth, I'm going to wipe you all out. You know, to save humanity, he wiped out most of humanity with the flood. Did you catch that? But he found one righteous man, and that's all he needed. And I'm so thankful that he found that righteous man. But the next time he's looking, regardless, he's going to cause judgment to fall on the earth. And when it falls, we better be on the right side of it, folks. We better be in the light. And so this whole concept of Earth Day and all the things that go with it, it's really become, sadly, pagan worship at an extreme. They're worshiping crystals. They're worshiping all the things that nature, Mother Nature, has created. And in fact, in some of their prayers and so forth, you'll actually see them use a feminine gender about God, who is a she instead of a him. They've rewritten the Bible to take all the personal pronouns out. It's not Father God, it's the Creator. It's not Jesus the Son, it's the child. They've taken every gender out. They've rewritten the Bible, all with the idea we don't want to offend anyone because we believe in this other picture of creation that really is evolution, which is made by man. Now man has become its own creator. So how do we deal with all this? We have to take responsibility as part of the second Adam's assignment to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I'm not going to give up my Volkswagen Atlas and ride a bike to church. Can you see me riding up here today with Pastor Mary on the handlebars? Can you imagine that? Oh, I'm saving the earth. We don't, you know, our carbon footprint. I wrote down some imaginary headlines here. Jesus curses fig tree. And of course, the tree huggers around the world will be protesting at his ministry headquarters today. They've chained themselves to every fig tree they could find to make sure that the media was there. We're going to save the fig trees from those horrible Christians. Or how about this one? Jesus and disciples violate fishing limits. I'm sorry. So Greenpeace shows up in their little rubber ducky boats, you know, and harass the disciples as they're fishing. And, of course, they call the DNR officers so that they will confiscate their catch and arrest the disciples. How dare you pull so many fish out of the water all in one shot? Did you do drop a hand grenade in there? What did you do? You know, all of these things are so stupid that I have to make fun of them. I mean, you really have to, because it's idiotic. The Bible calls those people fools, and some of your more modern translations actually calls them idiots. And I think what we have to acknowledge is the fact in Genesis when it says, let mankind, humanity, have dominion in Genesis 1:26 we ever looked at, over all the earth, and then God blessed humanity, said to humanity, be fruitful. Others say prosper. Multiply, reproduce. I'm sorry, but Adam and Steve can't reproduce. They can't, and it's not going to happen. Replenish, increase, fill the earth with what? Garbage? No. With people. God is about his creation. He created humanity in his image, and he wants us to create more of his children because he has a plan for eternity for us. Again, this is all about eternity, not about living in this little limited time frame, because again, when we come to the end of this time frame, this end of this lease, when the lease is up, he's going to burn the building down. Are you ready for that? Oh, but there are certain places I just love. Wait till you get to the next recreation of it. It's going to be awesome because it won't be under the law of sin and death. You know, when I first got saved, I always want to say, God, what's with mosquitoes? Why did you create mosquitoes? And, you know, finally someone said, well, I don't think that's the way God initially created them. It's a fallen, you know, the result of the fall of man. They didn't originally, you know, come. But, you know, man says, you know, we're going to mess around and genetically alter all the male mosquitoes, and we're going to let a billion of them go into these swamps so that they breed with these other mosquitoes, and then they'll die off, and we'll solve malaria. Have you read some of them? They're doing this in Miami or around the Miami swamps. They're doing this in California. They're doing this down in South America. My question is, if they do all this genetic altering to the mosquitoes, what do they, and they're going to stop reproduction. That's the purpose of the genetic alterations. They're putting something in them genetically to stop reproduction. It's going to start biting people. They have no idea what's going to happen. Now, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, really the 50s and 60s. I have somebody that we know close to us who back then believed in, how many know what ZPG is? Do you know what ZPG is? Zero population growth. It was a big thing back in the 70s, ZPG. Their thing was way back then, and I think there was only 3 or 4 billion people at the time. Now we're pushing 8. And they're going, oh, man, we can't feed all these people. We can't take care of all this stuff. I have to read this to you. This is an article called Environmentalists' Wild Predictions. I should post this for you. Excuse me. But this environmentalist back in 1969, when they first started talking about Earth Day, because it was celebrated for the first time in 1970, and they finally pushed it through. This particular senator got on board with it and made it a law, or made it official. He said this, quote, the threat of a new ice age must now stand alongside nuclear war as a likely source of wholesale death and misery for mankind. That was said in the year that I graduated from high school. The year I graduated from high school, they're saying the threat of an ice age. Where is it? They went from that to how many years later to all about climate change. Well, no, for some of them it was called global warming. My wife, she says, honey, they don't call it that anymore. I know, but I just read some of these articles this week, and a bunch of them are calling it. This one just came out the other day, and guess what they called it? Global warming. Because there's still people who are holding on to that. I know they've softened it by calling it climate change. Well, we live in Minnesota. Hello, the climate's changing every day. I love climate change. That's why I live in Minnesota. I love four seasons. If I loved heat, I'd live in Arizona. If I loved cold, I'd live in Alaska. Huh? But I love this one. In 1975, the Environmental Fund took out a full-page ad warning. The world as we know it will likely be ruined by the year 2000. They missed it. Here's another one. This is a Harvard University biologist in 1970. Wrote all about it. In fact, one guy actually wrote a book back in 1970 called The Doomsday Book. But she sold a lot of those, didn't you? Here it is. This is 1970. Civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind. Well, we've missed the date again. You know, these guys are as bad as the people that predict Jesus is coming back every 10 years. Look magazine in 1995 said this. Somewhere between 70, now listen to these numbers, somewhere between 75 and 85% of all species of living animals will be extinct. That was a senator, Senator Gaylord, who was the one who pushed through Earth Day. That was in 1970. And he said that would happen. I've got a whole article full of all these statistics. I love this one. Over and over, the U.S. Geological Survey, the society, our government would say, there's literal or no chance they're going to discover oil anywhere in the United States. In 1939, they came out and said the oil supplies would only last 13 more years. In 1949, they came out and said that based on what they were looking for, the end of U.S. oil supplies was in sight, right around the corner. That was in 1949. In 1974, they advised the U.S. government that they only had a 10-year supply of natural gas left. 1974. What's interesting is that just last year, 2 years ago before the current administration came in, excuse me, before that, this is what the estimate was. There are between 1,000 and 2,500 years of natural gas supply in the United States alone. I guess we're good all the way through the millennium. Here's another one. In 1970, when environmentalists were making predictions of man-made global cooling and the threat of an ice age and millions of Americans starving to death, what kind of government policy should we have undertaken to prevent such a calamity? I didn't mention this one, but this professor who Vice President Gore actually said he was his hero and mentor, predicted that millions of citizens would die. I skipped over that, and I should really quote this one. He said, hundreds of millions of people are going to starve to death. He forecasted that 65 million Americans would die of starvation between 1980 and 1989. That by 1999, the population of the United States would have declined to 22.6 million. I think there's that many in Mumbai. Isn't there? Jeez. Where's the other one on there? skipped over. One of them talked about the oceans rising so much that England would be no more. That one really, I caught that. I thought that one was pretty interesting. Where's the other one here? You just don't believe these predictions. And I think the gist of the article is this. If the government had taken steps through all of those times and acted on them and spent trillions of dollars, which is what they're trying to do with the new Green Deal, that's exactly what they're trying to do, which will make no difference at all. Here's science. Follow the science. Okay, here's science for you. 95% of the greenhouse effect that we are currently experiencing in the earth today is water evaporation from the earth's atmosphere going up, coming down, going up, coming down. Thank God it does. We call it rain. Without the greenhouse effect, the earth's average temperature would be 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, living in Minnesota. On top of all that, natural wetlands. Now, aren't the environmentalists the same ones that want us to protect all the wetlands? Aren't they the ones telling farmers they can't dig up this ditch because we got to protect those wetlands? Because there might be some kind of spotted snail in there, you know. Isn't that true? Natural wetlands produce more greenhouse gas contributions annually than all human resources combined. We better get rid of those wetlands. In 2004, the Pentagon, this is the Pentagon, came to President George W. Bush and told him this. Because of climate change, quote, major European cities will be sunk beneath rising seas as Britain is plunged into a Siberian climate by the year 2020. That's enough of that. Have I scared you enough? Does that make you just want to run out and buy an electric car? You know, I understand that we need to be good stewards. Some of you should go watch PragerU 5-minute videos about the environment, and especially about wind, the winds and solar. This scientist, environmentalist, woke up one day and realized, you know, we're doing all this to create wind energy and to create solar energy, but what's the consequences down the road? They've been doing it long enough now that they start to see a track record. Do you know that more pollution is created from one windmill and one solar panel? Because once it's done, how do you recycle it? And then you got the Audubon Society, who is all for all of this environmentalist, and then they're screaming, it's killing the eagles. All right. Sorry, I ran out of time. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. You know, I believe that every individual or every corporation, every country that has done any damage through pollution or other things to the earth has done so because of one thing. It's like what Timothy talked about. The love of money is what? Is the root of all evil. They're pushing a Green New Deal, and really it's all about money. It's all about power. It's all about control. If the government can tell you what to drive, you know, Bill Gates and his whole thing about making sure we don't have any more cows because cows pass gas. And because they pass gas, we have greenhouse gases polluting the earth because we have people, you know, too many cows. And so he was going to create a meatless hamburger. I'm sorry, it's not a hamburger anymore. I don't care what you call it, but it's not a hamburger.
Well, it's a veggie burger.
And I don't know what they want to call it, but I'm sorry, where's the beef? Come on. But you see the foolishness of man. Again, he's going to tell us you can't eat meat anymore. You have to have this protein-based thing that was grown in a petri dish, and you're going to love it. No, I am not. Don't tell me I'm going to love it. All right, I have to stop, because if I got into the whole thing about Roundup and all the other things that environmentalists are doing, we'd be here for another hour. So anyways, let me close with this, James chapter 5, because this is the gist of it all. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. I believe humanity can never improve on God's creation. But I believe humanity needs to be responsible for God's creation. My wife and I, we do recycling. We watch what we eat. You know, she's very conscious about, you know, the natural health foods, non-GMO stuff, things like that. But at the same time, you know what? I'm not going to give up basic things that I don't believe are really an issue. Somebody, just because somebody screams at me that my car is creating pollution. I'm sorry, them breathing creates pollution in my mind. They're polluting the earth with their noise, with their false news, their falsehoods. The things, look at the predictions. And there's a dozen more I could have given you, but I gave you some really obvious, stupid ones. I mean, yeah. How many times have I heard in my lifetime that all of Florida is going to be underwater? Because of the polar, you know, one thing I realized one day, I think I was talking with our kids about it one day. I said, you know, the human body is how much water? A lot. Well, just in the last couple of decades, we've gone from 4 billion to 8 billion. There's a lot of bags of water walking around. You ever think of that? Of course the oceans aren't going to go up because they're in the people. I just thought I'd send you home with that thought. Star Trek already hit that. They already talked about you bags of water.